Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all explore the wines of Dow Vineyards as they have their Paso Robles Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. How are you tonight, Rob?
I am swimmingly fine.
Do you feel lonely tonight?
No.
I don't either.
I don't because the Triple B is here as well.
She's back.
I'm back.
That's what
look
time.
Look who's back. Look who's back. Look who's back.
Viruses can be beaten by time. That's true.
What?
A magazine?
You had a virus. You were sick.
Yeah, I got something that Luke brought home.
Maybe it's bacteria. How do you know it's a virus?
I'm a doctor.
I'll tell you what, 8 COVID tests later for me and Luke.
That's true, just to be sure, because we weren't sure.
I lost my voice one day. This was like day 9. I lost my voice, and Rob texted me, I really want you to take another COVID test. And I was like, I will take a COVID test, but this is the last one.
That's true. Also, she was off preparing for...
Yeah.
A party. I noticed some things written on your page, and I'm a little concerned about your little thing.
Stupid thing, did you get yourself?
Party? No, I just saw some things.
Hail Putin.
What? You wrote that on your page? Is that all you wrote? I don't know.
You probably put other stuff on there. Boo?
No.
Leave me alone.
USSR for life.
What? What is it? What else? Did you write anything else?
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm going to go upstairs. Scott brought a book over, and I want to go read instead of be on here and be harassed.
And it's written in Russian. So, on tonight's show, we have a wine from Paso Robles, a very famous producer down there.
Even if its name's not so famous.
Well, he thinks it is. But
we don't.
It's not Austin Hope, by the way. Just you're welcome. We're not doing that. We have enough self-respect.
No, we don't.
But also, Austin Hope was not on. That wasn't mismarked at Kroger. But this wine was. It was accidentally at the wholesale price, so I bought it.
How did it accidentally get there, Rob?
I don't know. Stupidity. Same place that had Segashio for the wrong price. I'm fine with that. I'd rather buy more Segashio, but we never had this. So, you know, I've had plenty of Segashio. Nevertheless, this is Dow Vineyards, their Paso Robles Cabernet. Now, you've seen it on your grocery store shelves.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Did it come from Kroger?
It did. White label, red Dow, right there. Little.
It's a pretty label. I like the Rolling Hills. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. The little silver medallionist crusty thing, and then the Rolling Hills with the vineyard / bodega.
Something I haven't noticed on our wine bottles in a long time, and I don't know if it's because we're picking maybe a touch different or higher quality, but I feel like forever when we were drinking, everything would have a sticker, like a gold sticker, where it won a prize.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like every single wine we drank.
This medallion's not like that.
No.
It's very tasteful. It kind of looks like a wax seal.
True. Although it's not.
No.
It's not wax.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it looks like. Yeah. But I mean, wasn't it like every single week we were Googling some wine awards that were.
Yeah. Double platinum at the.
Huntington, West Virginia Wine Award.
Yes, at the River Rat Festival. That's what Fry Brothers
did. Blanchard County Wine Festival under the bridge.
Sometimes it would get like second place, and you're like, what? Yeah.
I was celebrity reviewer at that one. That was great.
We haven't had one of those in a long time.
No. Strangely enough, I was already under the bridge. So I was like, okay, sure, I'll review it. So, you know, Wilford, you know.
We love Wilford.
We do.
Well, some of us do.
That's true. Triple B does not.
I don't at all.
No,
not even. I probably would if I didn't associate that voice with him.
Well, it's not his voice, probably. It might be, though.
I think it is his voice.
He probably has this deep baritone kind of, hello, my name is Wilford Wong.
The other thing you wrote
that sounds like
bless
James.
Mother Russia.
What? What'd you write?
I write Becky over and over and over again, as you all know.
It's your programming. You will write your name over and over again. And subliminally, you are saying, yes, subliminally, yes. Bless Mother Russia.
Okay.
That's not all I wrote. Anyway, so tonight we're going to see if this Paso Robles cab is decent. I mean, you know, we've had some ones that were wine. Foxglove, Foxglove. Yeah, anything else? Not much. Mm. We don't really venture down in there very much for Cabernet. I like Trejana, even though it's an Austin Hope product, but I don't like it so much I ever buy it. It's the same price as Dow, though. I mean, Dow is about $27. I bought it for $19.67, a very common price when it's mismarked at the wholesale price. So, you always get that with 67. That's not what it's supposed to be. No. That's not, 86. No, I think you've messed that up there. You read the wrong column. That's fine. So, I have seen this on post or like markdown before too. I never bought it then though. But I don't think it was cheap then. Still like, closeout price, $26. I'm like, no, it's not what I'd pay.
It gets some scores.
It does get some scores. We'll get to that when we get back from the break. But this is the new vintage. This is the 2020. So this, the only one I know that's out there was a barrel sample. They went and did a barrel sample at Dow. They were going to go to Pointe-Canet. But they were busy at Dow, Paso. He's like, well, I normally do barrel samples in Tuscany or, a Pomerol. But I'm in Paso today. What do you got? Oh, you got a barrel sample. Do you have your 2020 Sauvignon Blanc barrel sample? I have had a barrel sample before, by the way, at Klein.
It's pretty cool.
Well, you did too.
I said that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It was pretty cool.
So describe that for the listeners. What's the process? Having a taste from a barrel sample. What do they do?
Put a straw in.
No, we're talking about the little Kool-Aid barrel things.
Oh, like the Gatorade barrels the side of a...
It's kind of like a spigot.
I think he's talking about when you go on vacation and the Piggly Wiggly in Myrtle Beach has those 9-cent barrel-shaped sugary corn syrup drinks.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. It might be better than this. I don't know. No, it's just it's not that exciting. Well, when we did it, it was probably like their cashmere or something like that. Here's our shittiest thing.
Still cool.
How did they siphon the wine out of the barrel, or was it a simple spigot?
I think it was a
It was that.
A spigot.
I don't know.
We had like a little thing. Yeah, it's like that.
Something like that.
Nobody can see.
It's a spigot. You turn it.
It's a spigot. Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, I remember that we did it. I don't really remember the experience too much. I just remember that we did it.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Drunken one.
Right.
That's the kind of information you get here on the Wine Vault. So.
Jesus. I'm glad I asked the question.
Yes. Aren't you illuminated now? So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks.
I should have smelled this before I wrote down scores of integrity.
You haven't wrote down your scores yet.
I did. I said I should have.
Okay. Smelled it. It smells better or worse? I don't know.
I think she's reconsidering her score.
Maybe so. Well, you never can tell. It is the Dow, the 2020, so it's fresh off the boat. Their Paso Robles Cabernet, normally about $27. I paid $19.67, which is a normal price. Triple B, I gave you some information.
We're
out of printer paper, so I printed it on notebook paper.
On legal paper.
Yes.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want me to read first, winemaker notes or the other one?
Winemaker notes, perhaps.
Okay. A rich and compelling nose of blackberry, cassis, smoky leather, dried herbs, is enhanced with layers of plum and cherry, cocoa, and sandalwood. Notes of pencil lead and crushed rock mingle with subtle nuances of sage and menthol. Bold and full-bodied, this wine is structured firmly around a solid core of boysenberry and cherry fruit. Supple ripe tannins provide ample backbone for the layers of boysenberry, black cherry, licorice, and dried herb flavors. Fleshy and weighty on the palate while retaining balance and finesse, it finishes long and clean with lingering notes of plum and blackberry.
So that's the make-believe.
That's notes. So much stuff.
That's a lot of information.
Yeah, it's just not. No.
It's just...
No.
It's like...
No.
Sometimes with the winemaker notes, they get so carried away.
It's it is. It's like, can you... The only thing I didn't see listed on here was tobacco.
It's like this
But would everything be, else they have.
Yeah. If this wine showed all these things, it would be the greatest wine in the history of wine.
It would be like a 100.
It would be a 300.
Yeah. Black cherry, licorice, herb, boysenberry, smoky leather, sandalwood.
Not just leather. Smoky leather.
I don't know if I know what sandalwood is.
Yeah, it's normally Sangiovese sometimes will show a little sandalwood kind
of. Sandalwood's one of my favorite incense. I call them flavors, but yeah, I love sandalwood.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
Yeah. I'll tell you something off air. Just remind me.
Okay. Well, Becky's taking.
You can pause it if you want. I don't care.
But no,
say it.
No,
say it on air.
I'm not going to say it on air. It's too. It's personal information about myself.
Oh.
Not
incense related.
Oh.
Incense triggered that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I think this should go on air. We could bleep it out later.
I turned it off.
Stop.
Listeners missed you, so maybe you need to give them something personal.
Yeah. I don't know that they missed you, but yeah, whatever.
She wasn't here, so they missed her.
I didn't take
them.
A poll, so the numbers
Aww.
Are... No,
she wasn't I, here, so they missed her because they couldn't have caught her because she wasn't on, so they missed her.
We do have the ability to have a poll, but that would be sad if nobody answered it. So
we just finished watching the Sex and the City and Just Like That.
Yeah.
And they have a podcast in it.
True.
It was so enraging and triggering to Rob. He almost couldn't watch. I mean, there were a lot of reasons, but he could barely watch the show because of that.
That's not
when they did a call in, Sarah Jessica Parker. Someone called in, and he was like, "I'm like, just chill out, Rob. Nobody cares."
Like callers, not just like not like I have a guest on that called in, and it's pre-planned. It's like, I have a hotline.
Show. Yeah, it was
it's
like
not
that.
A radio show, you morons.
Yeah,
you also can't play have ten thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in production values in some company that it looks like it's a freaking radio show. Joe Rogan, it's in his house, isn't it?
No, he's got a studio.
We don't talk about him on this show.
Well, I'm just saying. But I mean,
we can talk about Joe.
But he doesn't have that nice of a setup that they did for their stupid ass thing, their fictional podcast.
Okay.
Just saying.
Like I said, it was very triggering for Rob.
It was. And well, yes. And it was triggering for you too, but we'll not talk about that. So.
Okay. So what do we smell?
No. There's one more. Jeb. Jeb.
Oh.
His nice hair.
He has a wonderful set
Not
of hair.
Yet
Handsome man.
The 2020 sports a deep purple hue to go with some classic Cabernet notes of cassis and blueberry fruits, as well as chocolate, spicy oak, and lead pencil aromas and flavors. It is rich, medium to full-bodied, and textured, range 90 to 92.
Mm. Textured. Historically, it always gets 90s to 92s, pretty much.
From Jeb or everyone?
Parker likes it.
Oh.
It's like back-to-back-to-back-to-back years, 92, 93, 92, 93, 92.
Oh, no, yeah. They also have reserve. I mean, they go all the way through the gamut. I mean, you go on their website, they even have a port. They want $100 for it, but whatever. The 19 got a 92 from Parker, 92 from Enthusiast, and 90 from Jeb. 18, 92 from Parker, 90 from Jeb. 17... 93 from Jeb, 93 from the Enthusiast, 92 from Parker. The Enthusiast or the Spectator doesn't look well. The Spectator in 15 gave it a 93, and that was 293s and 292s. 16 a 94 from Parker. 14 was a 90 from Parker. Wilford, yes, I gave the 13 a 94. Just good reviews back through for the last 10 years. There isn't an off vintage, which is promising. And this isn't James.
No, it's Parker at all.
What's that mean? The tasting panel, they reviewed the 12. They gave it a 90. Even the tasting panel didn't overscore it. So Yeah, that's all promising. It's still, it's Paso, though. Which, you know. Go on their website, though, folks. They have a full line. I mean, they have their estate Cabernet. They have their port, which is $100, which is a lot of money for a fucking Cali port. You can buy anything from Portugal that's a vintage port for less than that, pretty much. Yeah. You should never buy that. The reserve right now is online at wine.com right now for 56, I think. So, I mean, there's some stuff out there, and they have a full line, Pinot, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc. I think they have some Merlot, some Bordeaux-style blends, and then their Cabernets. So, in the glass, it is pretty.
It is a deep purple hue.
Mm-hmm, it does have a purpley hue.
Jeb did get that correct.
And look at the legs on that, Scott. I mean, the legs just cling and hang and just...
From the Wine Folly.
Oh, no.
Here's what she describes as Paso-style Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay.
Strives to be big and bold, making more richly textured, opulent, I love that word, ready drinking cabs and Bordeaux blends with flavors of anise, cola, peppercorns,
cola,
finishing with textured minerality and bright acidity.
You know, I often think opulent and cola.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jeff, come on, man.
What would you expect from a Paso style cab?
I would expect cola. Yeah, that would be fine. Cola.
Okay.
But I don't call them opulent. Now, once again, you can get expensive, you know, but when you're talking sub 20, we have had good Chilean. We've even had some good Californians. You know, we have good, there are good Cabernets out there from Washington, other places.
It ain't ostentatiously rich and luxurious. It is not, or lavish.
It ain't in Cali. And then, so then when you're going above that, you're like, well,
I'm mocking you.
I know. You can buy Edge cheaper. And there's so many things you can buy cheaper than this.
It was very Khrushchevian.
It was.
You should take your shoe off and beat it on the table.
It
kind of
hurts to do that too much on this. That's why, but you did it like 5 or 6 times.
That's why he used his shoe.
I'm rolling my eyes.
It might be.
He did pound on his shoe.
That's true. So, a little history lesson.
Okay.
On the nose.
But you were asking me, Rob, it is gorgeous in the glass.
It is pretty.
A little bit of tartaric acid, yes, crystals.
Yeah, there are a little bit of that.
It's a little bit like a smoke. It is smoky. Acid-y. I would give it that.
It's menthol.
Yeah, oaky a little bit.
Blackberry.
Sage? No, I'm just reading the review.
Poisonberry, saddlewood.
It's rosemary and thyme.
I smell,
Yeah, I'm not getting any herbs out of that.
I know.
No. I mean, look. It's just...
Sometimes when someone puts the idea in your mind, you can kind of find it, but I'm not.
Maybe little marjoram, but it's just like, it's not an individual, it's the whole nose, it's not a bad nose, it's slightly muddled, it's not a real bright, in your face kind of, you know, expressive nose, it's a little close. This is a younger wine too. I mean, I'm not saying this wine is ageable, but I'm also not saying that it couldn't be held for a few years. Presumably without drinking it, which is a good thing, possibly.
You mean, so you're blanching from your position of when you go and mark down the wine, drop it, and put scratches in my bottle so they mark it down to 1967 that you shouldn't drink it right away?
Well, I don't know. If it's 2018.
They maybe. Come back and look for that, you know, as evidence.
I'm going in.
Rob Dern, grocery fraud extraordinaire.
This is more tannic than I expected. I can't believe no one mentioned that.
Didn't talk about the tannins at all.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, yeah, ooh, it is tannic in the finish. There's a... In the mid palate, there's a little bit of a spring of acidity that comes across it. That might go away a little bit. You can taste the oak as the tannins fade, the oak remains and kind of finishes out the wine. First thing, It's a bit lengthy. It does taste of Paso, but in a respectful, decent way.
It's very opulent.
It's not opulent, but there's no
residual. In a respectful way.
Yeah, it's not too Paso. It's not.
The blackberry is sharp at the beginning.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a pop of acidity. That's what I'm. It's like. I don't know. I think that might fade a little bit with a couple years in the bottle.
I don't mind it.
No, but you do notice it. You're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Just a little. Mm-hmm. And, little acidic blackberry. But the finish is, it's lengthy. The wine has good length. It's not like two, but.
It's American oaked, but it's not. It's not gross.
It's well done. The oaking's well done.
We don't have facts and figures on what the oaking is.
It's American.
How do you know that?
I can taste it.
Well, it could be a lot of French.
Okay.
Very Frenchy. I don't know. It's probably American, but
you think in a cab from California and Paso that they put French oak on it?
If they're fancy pants. Mm. I'm sure that they use that on their reserve levels.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a blend.
It probably
some
just to make
it
Scott
probably says blend,
looking.
And it's probably like a 95.5.
I just wouldn't be surprised if it's some French oak, just so they can say it.
Oh, yeah. Regardless, but they don't say it though. I mean,
yeah.
Regardless, the oak on this is it's well oaked.
It has a smoky leather, but I do feel like it has a little bit of a smoke box in it.
I was going to go for the leather. But something along those lines.
I feel like
it's
the oaking makes it be kind of like smoke boxy.
Hmm.
I mean cigar boxy or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I said smoke box, a smoky.
It does have a little bit of that element, yeah.
I think it's the oaking.
I like the fruit on the front palate. The blackberry has a wonderful silkiness to it.
Yeah.
Now that pop of acidity, I don't get it the second time. Maybe my mouth has been... Part of my mouth has been burnt out by it.
It should be.
But
you should bite your tongue.
But it's a very nice front palate. Often, sometimes we say, well, there's no front palate. No, there's a nice front palate here, but it's not jammy. It's not too bright. It's just, it's woven nicely and it has a nice silky elegance to it.
Is it luxurious?
I mean, $1,967, and it's luxurious.
It's really good.
Opulent.
It's really tannic, and I am a big fan of that in a cab. When you get into fuller-bodied wines especially, if it doesn't have tannins, to me it lacks a lot of depth.
Yeah.
And this just is really...
You really want that in your wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
I appreciate that, too. And it... You know, we just expect that... Mm. In a Cali build big cab to have the tannic backbone that this one has.
You know,
the structure of this is, it's not weird, but there's something that's, I can't get my head around.
But there's always like that little Paso-esque. So you have just that little off-kilter cherry that kind of goes to the mid-palate and falls through the way they oak it. And the fruit just, as it goes through the mid-palate, it just gives that little twang. That is just a little bit Paso-y. But that's not a bad thing.
And I think there's an acidity elsewhere in the wine, not just in the front pop were talking about.
There's a little bit of acidity as it runs through the finish. Yeah.
I like this wine a lot.
You know, though, there's a lot of wines out there that think they taste like this, but they don't. One
do
is Bonanza.
Bonanza.
I wasn't looking for it. I'll have to take another drink to find out.
I'm not getting the minerality it talks about really at all. The closest thing to minerality I'm getting is that you called it cigar box or smoky.
Oh, yeah, the crushed rock mingle.
But I like it more for like leather.
Well, I think maybe, though, for me, I think the front palate, that fruit, once again, is so pleasing. You kind of gloss over it. You're not really thinking about the rest of it because you're like, oh, that's so nice. So things I think that blow by. So.
This is one that you don't have to think about.
No.
But you can think about. And if you put some thought into this, I think you can pull a lot of things out of it.
Yeah. I would agree. It also is a really smooth drinking wine.
Drinkability scale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. 1 to 10. What's your drinkability scale here?
I feel like...
Up there.
I know. I want to give it a 10, but I mean like a 9, 10. It's really...
I'm 8
it's
for
a
sure.
really easy drinker.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
For those that drink Camus, if you'd like to save some money occasionally, here you go.
It's different. Yes. It's different, but I think that's a great, not necessarily analogy, but Camus drinkers would like this.
Yes, they would. They would like this. I'm not saying
it. It doesn't have that Camus. Camus is a 10 on drinkability.
Yeah, I mean, but this has as much complexity as Camus does.
In ways you could
in certain vintages.
It's maybe missing like the silkiness of Camus, but mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the other elements are there.
100%.
Yeah,
that's really good. That's what's going to be different. And the Camus drinkers say, "Wow, it's not as smooth."
Oh, for God's sake, it's silky.
Maybe we could do.
Let's see how.
Oh, yeah, 1/4
yes.
The price.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 week we could do this next side by side.
To what, Camus?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. I'll buy the Dow, you buy the Camus.
Bonanza, this, Camus.
Okay. No. Yeah. This is what. Yeah.
I'm balking.
If you were going to do a baby Camus, though, say you threw out Bonanza, all right? And they like just had this one tasted like this, and they said this was a baby Camus. You go okay, but it's not. It's Bonanza.
Yeah, I think we should slow down on the comparisons to Camus. You made a good point, and I like it, but it's not Camus.
First of all, I'm not a lover of Camus, so I can say that and not feel.
You aren't.
No, I'm not. I'm not impressed by it. I think it's a fine $40 Cabernet.
Easy. It's worth more than that.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
It's a $40 Cabernet, Scott.
No.
Now, I disagree. We had the 11. Their 40th anniversary. That was a bit better. That was a really good Camus. Partly because it was. Look at the reviews. They're sky high. But the rest of it, it's a really good wine. Good tasting wine. Yes. Right? It ain't that complex. No. It's not going to wow you. It's not going to shock you. And you're not going to be thinking about it 2 weeks later.
You're not.
And for $99, you should
89.
Be. Sometimes 99. You should be. I'd say it's not good. But I think you can get a lot of that pleasure for, you know, half the price.
Okay.
You know.
Let's move on to the wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the things you can pull out of this,
if absolutely. You think
about it for a second,
blackberry,
acidity,
tobacco, and I'm tasting more of the cigar box now as it goes through the mid. It's I would almost go a little more tobacco than cigar box. Cigar box is a little more complex. I think it's a little more straightforward than that, but
I would be fine with that.
Yeah,
I think the thing I like about cigar box on this one versus tobacco. Tobacco I think of as a little stronger, a little more. Harsh, not necessarily harsh isn't the right word, but a little more brash. But for me, I'm just going to still stick with I like as leather. Maybe they're both there, but I'm not quite getting the cigar box. The wonderful oaking.
Mm-hmm.
We're sure if it's French or oak or American oak or a combination of the two. It's well done. It's shows enough oaking at this time that you know they know what they're doing, and there's nothing harsh about it at all.
Yeah. No.
I was thinking just now when you were talking, Scott, about if you were to have this at a restaurant and it was $40 or $50, like I would be fine with it. And I was thinking about especially going to the top and having like a steak and a big baked potato with it. I mean, this is a nice, would be a really, really good.
You know, I've seen this on wine lists, but it's in the $60 range often.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, you know, it's $27, $30. That's probably
about right.
That's
right.
True. That's true. Yeah. You got it for $20. Yeah.
But I've always looked past it. It's definitely, it's in consideration now.
Well, you always mock it. Ooh, it's Passover.
I know. I was going to say, I feel like I wouldn't, at a restaurant, if I didn't know this wine, I wouldn't necessarily pick a Paso Cab.
I've always looked over Dow when it's on the menu. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never, ever considered it.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be so good with a baked potato, like those ones that have like salt on the outside? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like as soon as you start talking Scott out, that's like immediately where my...
No, you take that skin of that baked potato with that salt.
Yeah.
you take a nice big piece of it and you put it on your fork and you dab it in the juiciness of the meat of your steak on your plate.
It's so good. Isn't that what this reminds you of? It's so good.
Yes, but Scott's depiction of it just creeps me out. That's all.
No, that's so no. Listen, listeners, like you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
When the skin's crispy.
And you dip it in the meat drippings in your plate. Yes.
The Tabitha's, I mean, they do a lot of things well, but their baked potatoes are really good.
That's perfect.
That's like a stupid thing, but when you have their baked potatoes, they are really, really good.
And it's not a la carte. It comes with your steak.
Yeah.
It's really good. I've never had a baked potato there where the skin, when you open your baked potato proper, mm-hmm. by proper, I mean it's split, you mm-hmm. open it, and then you take the ends of it and you squeeze it.
Yeah. And it pops out.
And then what happens with a properly cooked baked potato, the skin separates from the rest of the potato.
Yeah.
It like crackles off.
Oh, that's the best part.
Wouldn't this be great with that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where my mind immediately went. Oh, a steak, yes, but also a baked potato.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, this is a great steakhouse wine. A really great steakhouse wine. I would recommend wherever you are in a steakhouse, you see this and you don't want to spend $100. You want to spend sub-70, sub-65.
Yeah.
This is a great choice.
And sometimes when you get a cab, there's almost a syrupy component to it. You know what I'm talking about? And this doesn't have that. No. I appreciate that a lot about it.
I'll be honest with you. I think in other Passos that I've had, that's a component that I don't care mm-hmm. for. And I'll be honest, I kind of expected it.
Mm.
Well, that's because there's a lot of jack-off wine producers in Paso.
We're not Paso fans for cab. Mm. But
we drink the wrong ones.
Let's get back to breaking this down.
I thought we were going to go back to baked potatoes.
Cassis.
That just makes me want to have baked
potatoes. Cassis for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's there with chocolate as well.
Oh.
What I'm not getting is any herbal notes.
Say what?
I don't get any herbal notes.
Oh, I thought you... I didn't understand. What you
said. It did sound like you said, earball.
Earball.
I may have said earball.
I don't get those either.
I'm still...
Does it have cockolate in it? That's what I want to know.
I finished reading a book tonight, and I'm rather emotionally involved.
I never learned how to read. That's fantastic, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm completely illiterate.
Are you being Rob the Wine Guy, or are you being Wilfred Wong? Which what's coming out here? Because
it's Wilfred. What are you talking about?
We know
Rob the Wine Guy is.
We know it's Wilfred.
Quite a studious. He's very, very intelligent.
Does mean he ever learned how to read?
Well, you.
I think we should go to a commercial break.
We shall, and we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, this show is coming out on the 13th of February, I do believe. So it's right around Valentine's Day weekend. So the question I'm going to ask the panel tonight, the dais, whatever you want to call yourselves.
The what?
Dais.
Dais. Dais.
What is the most romantic wine you can think of? The wine that brings out the romance. Not that gets somebody drunk, Scott, or that you could put GHB in, they won't notice.
Easy.
Not that. What? I want to know about that wine. What is that? That's fantastic. That's my favorite wine.
No, that you can't put it into, Will.
No, can. I want to know what you can.
Yeah, well.
No one will ever take a drink from me, though, so I have to do it to myself.
I'm sure there's a lot of things you have to do to yourself, Wilford.
That's right. I roofie myself, and then I do my... Anyway.
You can't even get it out of your mouth.
That's the happens, too.
You're so disgusting.
I'm very limber.
How do you live with this man?
I'm going to go upstairs and read.
Okay, on to the Valentine's Day. What?
Nobody could understand.
I think you said Valentine's Day.
Yes. Wine. The wine that you feel is romantical. And don't get us off track.
Well,
I know mine.
Okay, Becky.
We've talked about it a lot on the show. And it's not necessarily like the most expensive. I have two, actually. And for, we've talked about this a long time ago. I don't feel like we've talked about it recently. But sometimes when you have a glass of wine and it like transports you back to like a place in time and you like, you have that, you know, that reaction to it. So
Mad Dog?
Cope LeClaire is what I was thinking.
So I have two. One of mine would be Numanthia. Every time that I drink it, it makes me really nostalgic for our honeymoon. And whenever Rob's gotten a Numanthia out or whatever, it just is kind of like a, you know, like that's just a really sweet, a sweet gesture, I guess. So that would be my first. And then my more budget one, but still lovely wine would be Dry Creek. And every time you get out Dry Creek's in, it just makes me really happy because I feel like we've talked a lot about how it reminds me of being like at the beach and on vacation. And so when we drink it at home, it gives me those memories as well.
It was a staple for you guys Friday night steak night too for a while.
Yeah,
you
we drink, did drink a lot. We had. When did you get one?
Well,
out?
We just drink a lot anyway.
What?
Dry Creek. When's the last time we had it?
Oh, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
And when you got it out, I was like, oh. It just was a nice, like, this is going to be a lovely evening.
Actually, no, because I think it was right when you were starting to feel a little bit
yucky.
When was the time before that you had it? When we had
Yeah, we had people over. We had neighbors over, yeah.
We had our neighbors over, yeah.
So, this is going to sound corny, but my first memory of romantical wine is White Zinfandel. Back in the day when it first came out, before it was this sweet ass thing.
I was going to mock you and say that, but now that I'll let you.
Well, but it's, I mean, that's how you. I'm old.
Yes, you are. You are very old.
I'm old, and I was young, and I didn't have any money.
You can't mock someone's answer.
You can. It just makes you an asshole to do it.
Well, we're not allowed to mock each other.
I can. Watch me.
And, I mean, plainly bubblies. For us, we always like to do champagne
okay.
with the little raspberry liqueur in it.
My sister sold those at the Kentucky Derby 1 year.
It's just a nice little sweet little romantical drink.
Yep.
Is there a wine that is appropriate, not Korbel with Chambord in it that you like to?
Just any bubbler. It's obviously not necessarily ass sweet ones, but
okay.
And but yeah, Chambord and champagne. It's a very and it goes back to a wedding we went to, my cousin's wedding, cousin Chris's wedding. We had Big Don made them pour Chambord in our champagne, so it was a very cool night. And that's what it goes back to for me. It's more tradition than necessarily romantical, but I guess I have romantic memories of that.
Champagne in general is a romantic wine. Like when Rob gets out it's like, oh, that's a really...
And sometimes champagne is just New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve, is that romantic? I don't know. That's, again, traditional. But when we were going to get romantical, it would be Chambord.
Oh, okay. Just straight Chambord? It's like, I don't need sparkler. I'm just going to drink Chambord straight.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that does that.
They're disgusting.
I don't know any other cocktails that are made with Chambord.
Sir, how did you get diabetes? I drink Chambord straight.
So the year that my sister and her now husband worked the Kentucky Derby, she made, I don't know what champagne they used, and raspberry Chambord. That's what they made. That was her drink. So her now husband at the time, boyfriend, was making some other drink. And then people started coming to the back of their tent. This was when they were in college, the back of the tent, and being like, hey, can I buy a 2 liter of Pepsi from you? And Greg would be like, $20 and I'll sell you this 2 liter of Pepsi. And so he did. He sold Pop out the back of the tent and made
Black Market Greg. He's got a new name, Common Man and a Black Market Man.
I would also like to say
black market Pepsi.
I have showed great restraint. We've been using the term champagne, even though we're referring to sparkling wine, not champagne.
Yes.
Okay. Now on to me.
I sent this group that Omicron joke, didn't I?
Another one.
I'm sorry. Like, I mean, by the way, every time you guys said champagne, I felt like a wet cat. It's like, well, it's not champagne.
You are a wet cat.
You weren't drinking champagne, Scott.
But it's also
probably drinking Andre.
Let's be honest, duck. I think for all of us, anytime we break out Turley, there's a little romanticization of that for us.
I broke out 2014 Mead Ranch on, was it Friday? And all I know is the problem with Turley is first of all, it's very delicious. The 14 Mead Ranch was magnificent. However, and I did Brejol.
Yeah.
Which was really great. But the Mead Ranch waits until you're not expecting it. And then it knocks you unconscious. There's a lot of alcohol there.
I looked over at Rob, and he was like, I could see this little smile on his face. And he just talked to him. You know that face.
But 2 a.m., I woke up with a hangover headache.
I usually see it later on a Sunday night. Yeah. We're sitting talking.
My Omicron joke was, the CDC says it's not Omicron unless it comes from the Omicron region of France. Otherwise, it's just sparkling COVID. I sent you all that joke.
I love that.
I thought it was very funny.
I think it's a funny joke. I mean, is it too soon? No, it's not too soon.
It's not too soon.
It's not too soon.
It's too soon. But on to me, though. My romantic one. No, I think
we're back to... And now it's... We'll take a break and it's...
Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll do our sports. Perfect.
Yeah, you don't have the button to press to send us to a break. So I would say... an Alexander Valley Cabernet for me. And I'll say Ferrari Carano.
You love Ferrari Carano.
Well, Thanksgiving dinner kind of wines, where you're not thinking about breaking them down, you're just enjoying the experience. Warmth. Although I will say that Becky has mentioned Numanthia, and maybe she'll have Numanthia. Well, it will be last night, but it'll be this Saturday since we were the week before. But still, maybe you will have that, or something that is different. Maybe
he just wanted to find it. He didn't want to... really do
that's
this
just dropping hints,
yeah. He just wanted to know what you wanted to drink next
time. That's a very good point. So folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the 2020 Dow Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon from Paso Robles, we have had a discussion off air as to whether or not this is full or medium bodied, and I think it's full-ish. It's full adjacent.
I think you're foolish.
Well,
this is full body. It's on the lower end scale.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah. So our 10-point scale, we say 7's full. I got this as like 7.0 or 7.1.
Wow.
That's where I'm at.
I feel really prejudiced towards cabs, too. I don't necessarily like a medium-bodied cab. Like, to me, it's just not what I am looking for in a cab, and I feel like that's some prejudice for it. But this, I feel like I would say it's full-bodied, and I think that's also why I am willing to give it, like, another point on it. When you have a medium-bodied cab, it just feels like... It didn't get, like, the winemaker didn't draw enough out of it or something. Like, they kind of half-assed it. That's how I feel. But
you're getting cheated.
Yeah, right?
I'm with you.
So, I feel like, I mean, we can go into reviews.
No, just in general, I think in a Cali cab, I want it to be full-bodied.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world if it's not, but it better be damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like you, and maybe I'm not scoring it for points, but just for personal pleasure, I'm not. If my first impression of it, it's not full bodied, I'm looking hard at it.
Yeah. I think that too. I think for this one, the tannins add a lot to the body of it. I think the oaking adds a lot to the body of it, which is really, really well done. And I'm not an American oaking fan. What's all you're gesturing for?
I'm scoring it currently. I'm talking to myself. Thank you. I'm crazy.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Are you scoring it according to the points I'm making or what?
Trust me, I'm not doing that. No. Sorry. Go ahead. They're your points. They're for you to decide.
Well, you're like gesturing like.
I'm talking to myself in my own head.
He's talking to himself with his hands.
Sorry, I didn't know you guys were watching.
Not the way he does when Wilford's in the room. Okay. But.
So I put down some things that I really like about this cab.
It's
so
red.
The blackberry. It's purple.
Yeah, but you like red and yellow.
You make one comment about him talking to himself.
I didn't understand. Anyways, so I really am a fan of the blackberry pop at the beginning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's a little bit different. I'm a fan of that. I like that it's full-bodied. I like the spicy notes on it. I like that it is the tannins on it a lot. I also feel like when we were talking about the restaurant conversation, that made me really think about the scoring value that I would be willing to pay like $50 for this without really batting an eye at a restaurant and imagine drinking it at a top steakhouse in Columbus, at the top and a top steak restaurant. But anyways, I don't think that's a conversation that we've really had before. We've talked about whether it would stand up to a steak, but not necessarily like what restaurant you could imagine drinking it at. So I'm going to give this a 91. I'm a really, really big fan of it. And
I just didn't think you'd go that high.
Oh, no, I would. I was kind of 90, 91, but that conversation about the top and thinking about
mm-hmm.
the specific meal that you would drink this with, we've not really ever had that conversation before with that, like where I could taste it.
I will not win Scores of Integrity tonight.
Me either.
Well, go over to
Scores. I don't think anybody will.
Yeah.
I think we just should banish that practice for this episode. I'm torn because...
Natalie and Bruglia torn? Or just
very Natalie and Bruglia right. torn.
Are you all out of faith? Because this is how I feel.
When you do lyrics of random songs like that, it is so unsettling.
She's fantastic.
And it doesn't match anything else about your personality. It's so weird.
He has a personality.
Well, yeah. I've got lots of personalities. They're all
it's
up here.
So weird.
But none of them are his.
Well, yeah, you know, fair. Whatever. Go ahead.
I want to score this higher, but I'm at 89.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm at 89. That puts you in a predicament.
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
What I want to say about this one, we didn't talk about how much, what does this taste like? This definitely tastes like higher than a $30 wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
You know, okay. I mean, it. But as a standard, this is a good representation of, I would say, everything that Paso can be. Is it truly opulent? Mm. Is it headed that way? Yeah. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's luscious. It's not a fantastic mouthfeel. It's a really good mouthfeel. But the drinkability, could you age this? I don't know. But this is their entry priced offering, right?
You could hold it. I mean,
drink or hold?
Yeah, you could hold.
Well, I don't. When I say
years.
Hold, I don't mean what James means. I mean
hold me now.
I mean like
a couple years.
Just not get around to drinking it. James means age. I mean I forgot it was in there, and it's 3 years
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by hold.
Like my Louis.
Age is. I intentionally bought it so I could set it back and enjoy it later.
It's really well done, and maybe it's just that odd ball thing that I couldn't get my head around, that I can't give it a number that starts with a 9. 89's a really good score.
It is.
That's where I'm at. I would go 88 to 90 as a range. I will buy this for sure.
I know where I can buy it at $19.67.
I recommend it to our listeners. I think it's a really good wine. Is it great? I don't know what's holding me back, but something's just holding me back from giving a number. It starts with
I think
nine.
You're prejudiced against Paso.
That's a
yes. But I've overcome that. I've overcome that.
No, you haven't.
It's not that.
No, you
no,
haven't.
It's not that. It's not that.
You're prejudiced against Paso.
Listen, I could have given an 88.
You could have.
I didn't.
You could have, and you could be a dick. So it's
well,
on
I
to
am
me.
A dick.
Well, I know. It's on to me.
Okay.
To give the most reasonable.
Oh, the correct score, right?
I was waffling. I was talking to myself, muttering, making hand
you're
gestures,
making
forgetting that I was not alone. Just, I don't care because I just don't give a
That's
shit. But
so embarrassing.
I don't care. Anyway, I talked to myself. What can I say? I have to have a decent conversation once in a while, so I have to talk to myself.
It's when you start answering yourself is when I get concerned.
I know. Now, ageability.
He talks to himself all the time.
Well, so sometimes we'll be doing the show, and he'll ask questions, and then he'll have Bo answer them, doing Bo's voice.
Yes.
So that way he's not answering himself.
My name is Bo. If Wilford answers my question.
He's in constant conversation.
Then I'm really
If Wilford answers my question, it's
he's
a different
like
person.
Getting ready for bed at night, muttering to himself.
No, that's your person. Imagination. It's you're high half the time anyway, you daggone pot smoker. Anyway, in there puffing away. Anyway, puff the magic dragon. That's what this one is. Anyway, drinking too much high grade grain alcohol.
I need my medicine.
Anyway.
Anything would be understandable living with you.
I don't blame her in that regard. But still, I thought about this quite a bit.
Did you now?
And it's not ageable. You can forget about it for a couple of years.
Did
it's
you say ageable. Self? I was talking to myself and I said self?
Yeah, it's not collectible. It's not particularly special because you see it everywhere. But it's extremely, extremely thoughtfully and well made. Mm-hmm. It is very enjoyable, and the fact that you can find it everywhere is a good thing, because you should.
That's true.
I'm extremely happy that I bought it in 1967. I can buy a couple more because I know where it is, and Scott does not.
Mm-hmm.
But I had written down an 89, but then I realized this wine is a little bit better than that. The mouthfeel is just too pleasant. It has too many pleasing factors. It has some complexity. It has notes. It has a finish. It has a long finish, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has good tannin. It has everything a cab's supposed to be, and it's full-bodied. What else do you need to be? You get a 90. You get a 90 from me.
Oh,
right in the middle.
Look at you, like, bartering between...
But it is an 88 to a 90.
Oh. So what's my score?
But a 91.
The Canadian score.
But that, no. But... But
this is everything I like in a cab. It really is. It like checks the boxes for me on a cab.
You they are on to you. Your orders are. The next time you review, you have to go high so they do not suspect you. Well, we will suspect you. We are on to you. We will not be fooled. You know why? Because we're Americans. Well, at least I am. So
well, they're still in negotiation. She's still in negotiation.
That's true. They are suspecting you. You need to call me on your hamburger phone. She wasn't here for that, but I went for.
Did you share the hamburger? With
Hello, this is not. It's not a spy. It's a hot. It's a hamburger phone from McDonald's. This is a spy phone. It is an issue. It just came out in McDonald's in Belarus. We are behind the times.
No.
Yeah, we got them free. We have a case of 500 hamburger phones. We distributed it to all of our agents. 89% of them have been killed, but still, you are our top agent, because everyone has been discovered because of the hamburger phone. In China, they knew, as was the hamburger phone, but in America, everybody eats hamburgers. Just claim it's a hamburger.
Let's do our first poll.
What?
Okay.
How many of our listeners are actually second-generation Soviet plants?
How many of our listeners are?
Are actually second-generation Soviet plants.
Well, that's a really stupid fucking plant to answer that question. But scores have been...
Which of our kids would be most likely to take after me as a Soviet plant?
William. Simply because he would do what you tell him to do.
William's going to do something that somebody tells him to do?
Becky.
Me.
Nah, I don't know about that.
He's my little, like...
Is he your spy?
No, he favors me.
He's a butthole.
He He favors me much more than the other kids do.
Well, I think if there was an open spy in your family,
he insults me. He has no sensitivity when it comes to me.
You deserve none. And I wonder where he got that trait from.
Asshole.
So, not that I would accuse Luke of being a Soviet spy, but if there was someone to be in clandestine operations, I think it would be Lucas.
No, Luke would be into wet work. He'll just kill people.
That's part of the deal.
Savagely. They won't even be paying him for it. I mean, technically, he'll be a serial killer, but that's not
Luke
the point.
Luke did say something tonight. I think, like, I was doing the boys' toes and, like, fingernails and stuff, and William said something, and he was like, I want to kill your figurine, William. And he said it in, like, a...
He meant it.
There's no doubt about it. Your three boys, the one that's most likely to go in the military is Luke.
Yeah, but he'll get put in the brig. So, scores of integrity. Triple B, what did you have?
Oh, jeez. I had for Scott 86, Rob 87. So I was off 3, 4, 5 points.
I had Rob 87, Becky 85.
Ooh. So yes. How many points were you off?
Not going well for me.
How many
five,
were you
off? 5, 7. You're off 12.
I'm not going to count them.
12? I had Scott an 87, so I was only off 2 on Scott.
Uh-huh.
But I had Becky at an 85.
Oh my gosh, I won.
You won.
Yeah,
Nevertheless, though, the Dow. By the way, yeah. Dow, you get in the Hall of Fame.
Are you going to give him a tip at the cap?
No.
You know,
well, I'm reserving that.
Sure.
I'm good. I'm not going to be.
You reached up for the cap.
I just.
You did a blow by?
Yeah.
You just wax over?
Yeah.
No. Spot on. I would drink your reserve Cabernet, but I won't.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I know. It's $57.
This makes me think about it.
I feel like
it makes me eyeball it.
This is so good. We've been in that situation so many times where we've had the regular and the reserve, and the reserve is not that good.
We have that. We have had that.
We have.
But then we've had where it's blown our socks off, too. I'm trying to think of an example.
Remember when we had Yellowtail Reserve?
Remember when we had Kimmy?
Oh, God. The signature, whatever all that shit was. Oh, God. It's terrible.
That was almost a joke.
That was horrendous.
I feel like every time we do a reserve or whatever, something that's supposed to be a higher level, the entry level is always better.
Hmm.
I don't remember a time when the...
But bravo, Dow. I'll give you a bravo.
I'll give him a tip of a cap.
No.
Come on.
I'm going to give him a hearty handshake. Gosh. And a slap on the ass. So.
So inappropriate so many ways.
That's right. For Rob the Wine
Guy. How
about
a fist bump?
No. And Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, and the comrade Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and das vidanya. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.